Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Well, let's try to hurry. Jeff has to do a spot. Rick has to raise a daughter.
Can you give me main room mic audio from this seat?
That'd be amazing.
Via satellite. I would actually prefer that.
It would be better.
Most nights.
The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
Is that us? Is that one? Was that one? Oh, there's the thing. I didn't look.
You got the point.
I got the point.
We were supposed to focus over there, I think.
Not good.
Instead,
at that.
We were thinking about how to start this show with a bang.
Bang, bang.
Let's take it from the top.
Yeah, buddy. You're listening to the Rock Hard Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Jam Painter.
You finally had Jim Painter on the show. Thanks a lot.
One day I want to do that, just interview you guys as Painter, like Danish and O'Neill and Ingram, and just have you guys play your different characters.
I hate
Maybe
to say
even
it.
Maybe Danto as like Pauly Shore.
It's the closest you're going to get to him.
Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Hard. How hard is your rock hard cock? It's going to be rock hard to get me down here.
I can't believe Ari actually made something of himself. I see this guy on TV.
Do you think that he sits at home and goes and says that? Like,
to the TV.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ari. He wants a carburetor. I would fight him.
That guy left me in La Jolla. Wanted to leave me in Mexico. We had a sketch group.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
I did hear, because he's a huge Arizona sports fan.
Okay.
From Arizona.
Yeah.
And he was
Phoenix native.
He was watching the Arizona Cardinals in the Super Bowl. And I think they were up for like briefly, but then started losing. And he was
Steelers.
He was on the ground like a child. Pounding in front of him and kicking behind him, going, "Why? Why would you do this to me?" cursing God.
Devastation.
He's a religious man. He wouldn't take the Lord's name in vain.
Nope. He's religious after that act?
He would never take the Lord's name in vain.
He was jerking off to children.
But he wouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. He had his limits.
He fucked back alley hookers in Tijuana.
Yes.
And then that night, I go, what are you doing, man?
I'm praying.
I go, you told me you fucked a back alley hooker in front of her children.
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah. And now I'm telling God I'm sorry. You got to get forgiveness that day or it doesn't count.
Jim, there is no God.
wait. Oh,
Jim. That's why he's shocked that Ari made some of himself, because he's always said there is no God.
Ari jerked off on the table, allegedly.
Yeah. Not allegedly. I saw the semen blast from his penis.
Well, I want to work in this town. I don't want to get Ari Me Too'd. You can't Me Too me.
Who would Me Too him? All the people in the room, not that they consented, but they enjoyed the...
When the Me Too stuff started, Ari sent me a text message. I was like, hey, will you post on social media about the time I came on the table? I'm like,
I need some PR.
It might make me seem weird. I think I did post it, though. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
He's taking, sorry, everybody out there. He's taking a social media hiatus.
Yeah, I said there's just too much hate.
It's a net negative. It's a net negative. I need to take a break.
I'm with him. I can't get over this Louis C.K. thing in Brooklyn where.
What, the Skank Fest?
Yeah, but now the venue is apologizing for Louis showing up.
Yeah.
Like, he's got, what? I mean.
It was rented out. It was sold out.
Yeah,
it
here's the problem.
Great.
All of that is just more
bullshit.
Publicity for Skankfest.
Yes.
They're not, Skankfest isn't going to attract some Me Too loving person.
No.
It's going to attract the counterculture.
I heard Ellen actually was doing it next year and she pulled out. So, I mean, I hope they can find another headliner.
Ellen,
good luck.
Need to pull out.
Well, it's not just
We don't need Ellen around here.
Why not, Tommy?
Well, we already have men.
I'm a Paula Poundstone guy. Okay?
Right, boys.
She wore the suit. Not just that. Okay?
Dress formal.
Do you think Tommy would let Louis perform if he was still
here? He's the only one performing. Mitzi wants a guy who jerks off Tommy. Uncomfortably in front of people.
It was a
That's what comedy is.
Bit, okay? Make him laugh on and off stage. Not just that.
It's
okay?
Not a bit, Tommy.
Stephanie's my penance. I jerked off in front of lots of people.
Somebody once thought I was doing that, but I was just itching my herpes, okay? Allegedly. Wow. Tom, I know allegedly. You're listening. Aren't you glad that I stayed here after you left? Because I got the last word, Tom.
Oh, my God. My
you know
favorite?
He listens because he wants to know if anyone praises him.
Absolutely.
It ain't happening.
Look, he angered a lot of people, and I've never seen Jeff angry except for once. And it was Tommy. I mean,
I screamed at him. I lost my mind.
He lost it. Like,
I almost committed murder. What? Everyone was cheering.
What was it over?
Just years of abuse.
Yeah.
It was just like the Melendez brothers or Menendez, whatever their names are. And I saw red. I saw that mullet was covered in blood.
It was the greatest thing because I have anger issues. So when I see other people snap, I'm like.
Oh, well, every comic was just like standing there because people know me as like a pretty mild mannered guy. Everyone was just like, oh, and they could tell everyone.
It was a snapping moment.
And
he's
like, well, at least I see how you feel about me. And our relationship was never repaired.
Never.
Unfortunately, to this day.
Really?
Yeah, I call him once
a
week.
All right, well, he's here.
Great.
How to lose a talent coordinator in the basement.
Welcome
hey,
to This
Gaylord.
Is Your Life.
I didn't know you were here.
How to lose a spinal tap mullet in getting fired.
Many of you write songs about Mitzi. Yeah, you'll never be famous.
There's no lyrics. Yeah, there's no lyrics. You're just barbaric yelping.
You're yelling Mitzi and crying.
Barbaric yelping?
Wow. Robert, does this pipe have blood on it?
Hello, Tommy. I cannot accept
that. Robert William Eppervine.
Grossest thing I've ever seen.
He said that to him.
Is Comedy Store local schizophrenic who's been allowed to perform for 25 plus years.
Potluck. Potluck.
If you have pot, you're in luck. He loves Johnny Carson. It's a topical act.
Rick was a big fan of Robert Williams.
Huge. Who isn't? If you work here, you go through a big Bob face.
What did he call you?
Eric.
Eric. And then.
No matter how many times I corrected him, it was
not even
Eric.
A Nazi nickname, though.
No, I was his only fan.
Fan. Like,
so I would sit I would sit front row and just laugh
hysterically.
Oh, I do
remember that. I do remember then
Don Barris would pick me up and throw me at him.
Yeah, I remember a few times. It was like, Ingram just broke his back for that.
Yeah, it was totally worth it. But it's totally worth it for the four people who I was friends with. I would flail as much as possible to make it look violent.
I was like, wow,
and I paid the price.
Wrestler. I was like, did Ingram go to pro wrestling school? Because he's selling that broken neck. They're carrying him out in a stretcher. Is that airlifting?
Sorry, Eric. Sorry about that. There's Nazis in the room.
Eric, this is a real life, Rick's Cafe thing.
Yeah. My name's Rick, actually. What is it? My name is Rick. Oh, sorry, Eric.
He called me Ku Klux Klanish, which hurt.
Really?
And I said, Bob, I'm Jewish. Oh, you don't think there were Nazi clubbers? Oh. I said, oh,
damn.
Bob, you son of a
bitch.
He knows exactly
what
it's called.
He hit me where it hurt.
He knows
Speaking
where
of Painter,
hurt.
He knew Bob's whole act inside and out. Painter.
Hey, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when I saw you pissing like this?
That was a big one, and Bob was leaning up against the wall.
You wrapped your dick in paper towels.
And then he would scream because Bob did a bit about a banana, an orange, and a peach. And Painter would scream,
a banana, an orange, and a peach
for like 10 minutes until he did it. Over and over. Sometimes I just think of that during the day. I'm just
Bob
like,
would be on stage and,
yeah.
Painter
and Painter would
just
start in with it.
The joke, banana, and then you finally do it. Yes, there it is.
And the joke had, it was way too long-winded.
Was there any real joke in there?
Yeah, it was like doing
it was
like
a Bill
Carson,
Clinton joke, yeah.
Like Carson did those like things in threes. I don't know what it was called. But Bob would be like, let's do some. Okay. And then Painter would just.
A banana, an orange, and a peach, Bob.
He was on the side mic. So in case you couldn't hear him, he wanted amplification. Sabotage microphone from the side? Sabotage microphone?
Neo-Nazi Dean Gelber.
Bro, I can't control the mics, bro. Sabotage? He did the Bob and Dean show for a while. Management was in on it.
Oh, definitely.
He was performing with him.
Yeah.
Dean hadn't hit a performance, Jones.
Yep.
We all know he went to the University of Minnesota for drama. It's
one of my favorite stories Dean ever told. Was that he was at University of Minnesota art school.
Okay.
And then Lainey Gelber walks by, and I go, hey, Lainey, what was the name of that art school Dean went to?
Dean didn't go to school. He was there for a crack addiction.
Thank you, Lainey. Yeah,
Are you serious?
Dean went to rehab.
Polly put it to me the same way. But Dean had so many, the story was so well crafted. Bro,
like
I was
Dean
doing,
had it down.
I was doing Shakespeare, bro. I was an acting major. Yeah. And it was like, we were like, Dean, you lied to us for years.
Yeah, and then you're in rehab.
And Lainey told you the truth.
Polly told me first. Yeah. Well, Polly told me.
Yeah, Lainey told me at the back door because I wanted to know what the name of the art school was.
Right.
And I honestly did not suspect that he was lying. I was just curious.
She just had to make a name, any name, and you would have been like, oh, okay.
You would have been fine. Yeah.
Yeah, she could have said Twin Cities Art University. I would have been like, cool. I wouldn't even looked it up.
Dean didn't go to college in Minnesota. He was there for a crack addiction. He had to go to rehab. He was almost dead.
Thank you, Lainey. Happy,
Jerry,
happy Mother's Day.
Wait. My son looks like Rasputin. Cool, Jerry.
Wait, can you tell that story? I don't know if I made you do this before, but about you guys parking her car or
about you and
the
Ari?
Keys? No.
Oh. Thanks
Why
for
do
that
you
clip,
do that?
By the way.
Why do you do that?
Here's what the clip sounded like. Yeah, I went to lunch with her.
So remember when I slipped and I said the wrong
slipped.
Thing? You know what I'm talking
slipped onto Ari's dick. Don't talk to her like that.
I'm telling. Hey, I'm sending this clip. To
God, I wish I had that voice still on my phone.
Eleanor.
That voice message was so amazing.
Eleanor, get over here and rub my back.
You heard it, Rick? The voice message?
It was a morning voice, Dice. He just woke up, and I could picture his hair all over the place wearing like a leather robe open with the gloves.
The robe is more my thing. The robe is my thing.
12 years ago.
Eating a Lego, an Eggo waffle with the leather gloves, syrups. The syrup doesn't get on the leather. It gets on the fingertips. You lick it off.
You can lick the fingertips.
It's why you wear the fingerless. So he called.
The Eggos.
He called Ari, who was saying, and Eleanor's like, we were all in the kitchen. And Eleanor's like, oh, I was cleaning my plate. What are you cleaning the jizz off your floors? And Dice like,
well, are you cleaning the semen off your walls?
And so, no one missed the beat. Like, there was nothing that happened.
Well, yeah, because I think I said, as long as it wasn't your semen.
Came back at him, you said something, and then nothing happened. And then the next morning, Dice Man called
Everyone
Ari.
Everyone left nicely.
Yeah, there was no harsh word, not even a look. And he was like, yeah, look, Ari, it's me. I got to tell you why I left that store last night. Because if I didn't, you would have left on a stretcher. Like, he starts out, and it's like 9 in the morning. Like, whoa, that took a turn for the worse. Right after he's eating his yogurt.
Incredible setup. I mean, literally finished the cup of yogurt, and that's when he got violent when he looked down and realized.
I got to do something.
When that, he's like, the second you wake up, you pick up the phone, you call her, she's a nice girl, you don't treat her like that. This is your only warning. Next time, you're not even going to see me coming. So I don't know if he meant he was going to like ninja
hammer?
Attack. Oh, yeah. And he said, I'm going to hit you with a hammer. It was like, he just threatened
him. I'll take a hammer to your head.
And I remember Ari's making, do I really need to do anything on this? Or is it, can I just say I called her?
He could barely speak. He was laughing so hard. And he's like, you're not going to believe this? I just freaked out. I go, where are you? It was so early. I was like, why?
Why are you awake?
Yeah. And he's like, I just got this message.
He was looking over his shoulder because he was like, I'm not going to see him coming.
First, Ari, you get caught snooping around my place.
Rifling through the affairs.
Banned from his house.
Dylan caught you red-handed.
That was because Freddie Soto told me there was a gun there and I had to investigate.
He did.
He set him off. He took the bait. I caught him rifling through my affairs in my apartment.
He got kicked out of Freddie's house for doing it.
He's a rifler.
Yeah, he is.
They call him the rifleman. It's like Chuck Person from the fucking Indiana Pacers in Gunsmoke. But I love Gunsmoke.
I like looking for drawers.
Yeah, he was looking through my silverware. I was like, what are you looking for? Stop.
Was he making sure it was clean?
I don't know what he was doing. I mean, his hands touching it makes it instantly not clean.
Absolutely.
He never washes his hands after he shits.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like
that's
a thing.
Not even funny. I don't
know. No, it's not. I'm not saying it's a joke.
Like, I don't care about his Me Too shit, but that I'm going to report him
He
on.
Gave O'Neill his computer, which I was like, you better wipe, like, not only wipe it physically, but literally wipe the
hard drive. Yeah.
I don't, who knows what he's searching?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, but I was like, the exterior, you may want to wipe even harder than the drive because the FBI is not going to come for you for the diseases you get. They're just going to kill you.
The amount of fecal material on the keyboard actually is a biohazard.
Yeah, so. They did an episode where they just took a black light to the computer.
Oh.
Sam Tripoli talked about it. It causes cancer.
I love Tripoli.
Lizard computers, bro.
I'm obsessed with Tripoli. I've been doing this thing with him, and every 5 minutes he's like, all right, there's a lizard person. He comes into a bar. I'm like,
what's that, a setup? It's like a black guy, a priest, and a lizard person? It's the new joke? That's cool.
It's almost hacky at this point.
All right, there's how to lose a lizard person.
How to lose a lizard person in a jungle.
That man's a lizard person.
How to lose a lizard person in a jungle. Thank you.
Thank you. Lizard lounge, lizard people. Thank you. The beautiful people.
Do you
Marilyn
think Gaylord
Mason.
Would ever come on?
He probably
He's a shell of himself, I got to warn
he
you.
He is. I talked to him like 2 or 3 years ago.
Remember, I brought him in.
Oh, yeah.
I brought him in for a spot. Yeah.
Todd Munson was with him.
The Munson. He's a real Munson.
He got Munson.
Got Munson in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. He rides his bike with Lance Armstrong.
For real?
One time.
Oh.
Lance Armstrong.
I was going to say, I know he works.
He went into his bike shop, and then Lance Armstrong's like, hey, do you ride? And he's like, yeah. He's like, we're going to ride. And so they went into the hills. And Munson's like, not the, you know, you look at him, you're like, he's not the best shape in town, but he like was in good shape.
Munson's, yeah.
Like he's one of those guys who like, he ran the marathon with zero training. Like he outbirded Bert Kreischer.
He's Nebraska.
He was the original Bert Kreischer.
Yeah, that guy's Nebraska strong.
Yeah, he's corn fed and cornbread.
Right.
Cornbread a lot. Extra helpings. So he was riding.
He was so nice to me.
And he said, no, he's the nicest guy. But Lance Armstrong rode up behind him and just started pushing him with one hand, like giving him a boost, I swear. Like
that's a strong
like
man.
He was a child. But that was the HGH or whatever he was.
Yeah,
on.
Lance was pumped full of both Alanis Morissette and human growth hormone.
Thank you.
How to lose Alanis Morissette with one testicle.
Shania Mark Twain. Thank you.
One
Mark
testicle.
Twain.
Thank you.
Mark it Twain.
Shania
thank you.
Shania Mark Twain.
Thank you. A
oh
machine. Thank you.
Shania Mark Twain and the N-word. Thank you.
Thank you. Huckleberry Jim.
Do you think the other clubs have characters like we have?
No. Because they don't encourage it. They're a real business.
Yeah, not to the extent the Comedy Store does, but like that weird Mike David or David Mike guy.
Oh, he's a whack job.
Used to hang out at the Laugh Factory all the time.
But he's no Boone.
No.
No one would allow Boone.
He's actually creepier than Boone.
Is that the guy who jumps?
He
does parkour?
Yeah, up on the front.
I openly would show disdain to him when I worked.
I still do.
I'd be like, I hate you. And he'd be like, that's funny. And I'd be like, no, it's a real thing. I hate you.
We're talking 3 weeks ago. He was in the front. I was like, dude, you are still the creepiest guy.
He's so creepy.
Good to see you, Rick Ingram.
He wears hats that you would get at like a wedding from the DJ to be like wacky. Like, let's all put on party hats. Like, he wears like, I'm cool, like old man.
He's always renting sports cars. He'll just park them in the front.
Oh, he rents them?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he had that Mustang.
He'll park it in the front, and then the guy will come to give tickets, and he'll just stand and watch.
He had on gold pants and gold sneakers the other day, and I was doing a podcast at the Laugh Factory.
Sellout.
At Jamie's.
Traitor.
Well, it's Maranzio Vance podcast.
I don't even know what you just said.
You don't know who Maranzio is?
Buddy, Vance.
So funny.
Maranzio Vance down,
but
bro.
We were across the street from the Laugh Factory in Jamie's apartment buildings. So just there's this like little area where
I know
you
someone lives there.
Record. There's a lot of people that live there. But
he
so
goes
you can,
by Rage.
You can kind of record. So wait, we're recording. He comes back, cuckoo, whatever the hell
he live
Mike David.
I'm not sure if he lives there or he's just creeping out. So he sees us, but we're recording, so we kind of look at him like, not now, you know? And then he walks away, comes back with a cat, just petting it.
See, Dr. Evil.
And then
creepy.
He threw it and left.
At the black guy? Like,
No.
Just
black?
Free. Just
Maranzio
let it roam free.
Black, yes.
Maranzio.
You don't know
it's
Maranzio
like five
Vance?
Different names in one. Maurice,
so
Lorenzo.
He's so funny. I love him.
But yeah, that Mike David guy, super creep.
Yeah,
it's always, Larry David's nephew.
Every time
he?
I see him, I mention that we know he has that money because he murdered his parents.
Is that what happened?
He always then tells me that my parents just
he's a
died.
Melendez?
He's Canadian.
His parents died, and he inherited all of their money. That's why he exists. That's why he claimed to be part owner of the Laugh Factory for a while, or investor in
at least that
various
business
Laugh Factories. And then claims they died of natural causes or a car accident or something. Okay. But I know he murdered them, and so I bring it up
every time I see
him.
He carries a pillow around with him everywhere he goes.
What does that mean?
In case
mean?
He needs to murder old people.
Smart. Oh, okay. I was going to say.
The old smother. Gun, if you
remember
will.
The great
silver pants smuggler or gold pants.
Remember the great Jay London?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah.
I can hear the air conditioning.
I'm sorry. You'll never
Let's
see
listen
me
to
again.
The air conditioning.
Does that guy still do comedy?
I don't know.
I think so.
So he, years ago when I worked here, was like, can I ask you something for a second? I was like, yeah, sure. And he's like, you see that guy over there? And it's that Mike David. And I said, yeah. A lot of people are telling me he's stealing my jokes. And I was like,
he doesn't do stand-up, does he?
He did back in the day.
Yeah, he did open mics.
Oh,
and I go, I don't know. I watch him. But, Jay, your jokes are top-notch, so everyone wants to steal them.
That's a good answer.
Good answer.
Good answer.
He liked it.
I'm going to kill myself.
I'm sorry.
This
You'll
is
never
my
hit
step
from me
ladder.
Again.
I never knew my real ladder.
I'm sorry. I'm going to back up 4 feet to the curtain.
I bought a book on hair loss. The pages fell out.
I remember he had been doing stand-up forever, and he came. He was doing it at another club, and he came here, and he was like, I just went off the cuff for the first time. It was very invigorating. He'd been doing it for like 30 years.
Because he's been doing stand-up. He was a boxer for a long time.
Yeah, he had like
he
pro fights.
He got run over by a bus.
He had the face of a boxer.
Yeah.
The most fucked up nose I've ever seen.
His nose was mashed.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
And his hair was dreadlocked.
But not on purpose.
Frightened.
Just out of circumstance.
Yeah. But he had like
he had great overalls.
He was funny.
He had like
corduroy overalls.
Not I didn't think it was funny just because I'm not into one-liners, I guess, but he had that.
How dare you?
Whoa,
no,
yours were good,
Jay. No, that's Brody.
I'm sorry. Shit.
Jay had like a 2-year period because he was on one of those shows, Last Comic Standing.
Yeah,
or something.
He was on He was on one of the early ones.
That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah, I was an executive producer. I could have been on the show, but I didn't want to do it.
Wait, we were doing
You invented TV, didn't you?
Yeah. They call me Edison. I don't know if you did the TV or not, but you know.
Well, it's not the best invention.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, What's the best invention?
I invented the McRib. I do.
It's the McGriddle. We all know it's the McGriddle sandwich.
Well, I had the McRib. My cousin did the McGriddle.
Oh, did it?
Yeah,
well,
I told him he could take it. It was my idea, but I said, you can have it.
According to Richie, that's the greatest invention of all time.
If
so.
You don't know Richie, he's the manager
here.
Oh,
we already know.
If you have a situation that needs to
I'll fucking handle it.
If you need to be defused, and by defused, I mean incited into violence, you call Richie right over. What the fuck you say to me, you piece of shit? Great customer service, Richie. Beautiful.
I mean,
well done.
He's still
well
did.
Done.
Why do you have my customer in a headlock?
Maybe a year ago, security successfully had gotten someone out of the main room.
Bring him back in.
Down the back hallway. They had got him all the way around to the side of the building, almost to the front patio. And the guy's like, what do I got to go? And they go, you've been disrupting the show all night. You just have to go.
Get out.
Well, that's not fair. You know, other people are saying stuff, too. And they go, we warned you several times. You just have to go. The guy's like, I don't think it's fair. You know, so other people were being more disruptive than me. I was helping the show, whatever they always say.
Yeah.
And then they got him maybe 10 feet from the entrance to the sidewalk. And then Richie's like, if he doesn't fucking get off the property, beat his ass. It was like
people are filming.
It was legitimately they had been moving him at a successful pace.
De-escalating. He's like, fuck the de-escalation. Let's kick this up a notch.
And we need something.
Like, Richie, why are you cracking your knuckles when you go over to talk to this guy?
So
putting on a fucking like wrapping his hands MMA style. I'm fucking broken too many knuckles. Eating a McGriddle to get hyped up.
Of course.
It's cold, but it's still the bomb.
Why do you have time to microwave it? Because I got to beat this fucking guy's ass.
The syrup is still in the pancake.
He's got to watch out. He's got a sensitive back. He can really throw that thing out.
What? Why do you say that? I mean, how do you know that?
I mean, I've seen him do...
playing basketball.
I've seen him do his own chiropractor on the Comedy Store. What do you call those? The counters?
Yeah.
Like in the outside? Yeah. He does a deep reverse back bend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've
yeah.
seen him, like,
adjusting himself.
The
yeah.
concrete. You're like, whoa, what are you doing?
He went to chiropractor college in Minnesota with Dean.
Dean wasn't a chiropractor.
He did crack.
He used to smoke crack out of homeless guys' buttholes.
Here's a video.
That's my Deaners.
Lainey, I can see why they still let you drink for free here, because of the close relationship you have with your son. And I don't know where he learned addiction from, to be honest.
I've never understood it.
You keep your lowbrow comments to yourself. A quote Jerry Gelber once said to O'Neill, pointed
very
in his face.
Angry.
You keep your lowbrow comments to yourself.
I saw him last night.
He's like, but what fun would I have?
O'Neill is a master at inciting the crazy.
He should go around with Richie to get people up to the level, and then Richie cleans it up.
Richie puts him down. He finishes him off.
O'Neill can clean him up too a little
That's
bit.
True.
Party Pete set him up as soon as he goes for the snap kick to the
Party
peaches.
Pete.
Party Pete attacked him. It looked like a grizzly bear because the way he moved, it was fast,
he was
he was fat, and he was trying to claw him. Yeah, his shitty hair was flying everywhere. Yeah. And O'Neill was dying laughing.
I see him sometimes.
Party Pete walked in the middle of our Comedy Store fantasy football draft last year.
Perfect timing.
Like 3 in the afternoon, Party Pete walks in. Hey, does anyone know where the manager is? Yeah. Get the fuck out of here, Party Pete. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
I don't know if you got to get the fuck out of here the first time, but we're going to say it again.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Was he in the league at least?
I wish.
He won the league?
He drafted every winner.
That piece of shit used to carry around a Ferrari key fob. So everyone here is like, he has a Ferrari. And it's like, are you this dumb?
No.
The old manager, Evan, was like, he's got a Ferrari. I bet you can't get that key. We're like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, that guy was an idiot.
Well, now he's a newsman in Yuma, Arizona.
I think he's actually does the news now in North Carolina.
Kelly, WK9, North Carolina.
He was gorgeous, if I remember.
Beautiful man.
I fucked him.
Did you?
Multiple
proud
times.
Of you.
Dice was like, do you know him? You fuck him. You fuck the managers.
That's
you fuck the talent
man.
Coordinator. You fuck Mitzi. You fuck other people. And you make it.
And Brett Ernst.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Why Brett Ernst?
Who's got Bradley Cooper's number? He's going through a hard time. I know some Russian models. It'll clean him right up. I hope he calls
You're
her.
You're evil.
Why? It's the Dice Man.
It is the Dice
Man. Star is born.
Party Pete, he had this Asian girlfriend.
She had a bad arm. No, that was Minnie Dean who had an Asian girlfriend with a bad arm. And O'Neill talked about that. He didn't appreciate it.
What did he
She had a lobster hand or something. Something was off about her. And O'Neill brought it up to Minnie Dean. And I don't know why I didn't appreciate it.
Party Pete had a very crazy Asian girlfriend.
Which is shocking.
Yeah,
Party Pete was so normal.
She moved to Texas or something. But she friend requested me on Facebook and then sent me a message. It was like, I just became friends with Argus Hamilton and Steve Simone.
Okay.
And I'm trying to reconnect with all my friends from the Comedy Store. And I was like, I don't remember. When were you hanging around? She's like, what do you mean you don't remember? I was Party Pete's girlfriend. I was
boy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Worst name drop of all time.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing to say.
And then I just go, Party Pete was fucking terrible.
Instant
block.
She's
like, biggest piece of shit of all time.
Whoa,
and
you're like, now we're on the same page.
And
okay.
he doesn't have any of those cars. He told me they were in the shop, but in 7 months, they never got out of the shop.
You need a $1 Ferrari? I got a key fob for you. He's buying fucking keychains off Boone. Everyone's like, he's got a new car. Can you believe it?
That's amazing.
Probably bought that thing from Monkey Bones, I'm guessing.
Oh, have you guys talked about the great Monkey Bones?
Of course.
Oh,
we love
legend. He once attacked Zorba.
Wits, yeah. Did he?
Wits? Why Wits?
I would pay.
I don't know. That's what.
That was his original name.
Yeah.
Before he was Monkey Bones.
He had to reinvent himself.
He
got so big, then he came down. He had to recreate himself.
Our generation knew him as Monkey Bones.
Bro, you want penis lighter, bro?
And then two years later, it was Mike Dick. I'm American.
My name is Mike.
He did a bit about he would do
when
the open mic.
He would dye his hair. Really
jet black.
So beautiful.
He better watch out for that ring because it'll be coming down his face.
I'd say
really
monkey bones.
Made me nauseous.
Every time I see your face, I just think, why couldn't Slobodan Milosevic finish the job?
Bro,
this is not funny, but
bro,
very
good.
Smart.
You have good American diction, bro. That's why you make it.
That was very funny.
It's not funny, but you are very smart.
He was a dog killer. And Painter used to bring it up. Ask him about his dog and watch him freak out. He lived in a car with his dog, and I think either it was too hot or something happened, and the dog died. And Painter would be like, ask him about the dog, please. And he would just stand.
He would get upset.
He would stand like 10 feet away, and you'd be like, hey, do you have a dog? And he would just lose his mind. Yeah. You would just hear it from, and he would, fuck you, bro. Look at Painter.
Dude, the dog is dead.
It was in the car. It got too hot, right? You killed it. So fucking dark. To a guy's face.
Holy shit.
So I guess in a way, it's bad they let a lot of people like that hang around, but it's good because what other place in the world can you say that to somebody's face?
Again,
and did he hit Painter? Did he ever go after him physically?
No. The only time I saw him get violent was he attacked Zorba the Great.
Which I would attack
Zorba with all those rings.
I would pay top dollar to watch Monkey Bones and Zorba fight to the death.
Zorba can do a split, or he could back in the day. He was in Freaky Sluts 8, which he loved bragging about. It was a porno. He's like, you don't believe me? I was in Freaky Sluts 8. And we were all
he's
like,
he's working down at the movie theater.
We were all like, okay.
Moonlighting.
All right.
I called him old school. I always called him old school.
I once heckled him during an open mic set, and he from stage, he's like, hey, bro, I'm getting ready for something, man. I'm getting ready for something. I was like, okay. Just tell me not to yell. Don't pretend like you got a fucking gig, man.
Yeah, no one's buying
what are you
that.
Doing? New faces?
He was nice. I liked him a lot.
He's in San Francisco.
He's in San Fran, yeah. I see him once in a while on Facebook.
If you see him, tell him I said hello.
I mean, I see him on Facebook. Like all
Eleanor's fucking Zorba.
Sure
Wait
enough.
A minute.
The African
with all
Greek.
The rings.
Yeah, what, Zorro? What's he wear the
he
mask?
He doesn't have a sword.
I'm going to call him. Give me his number. I'm calling him tomorrow.
What's his name reminds me of Zorro.
Who's
with,
that?
Whatever, Monkey Bone.
Bro,
that
seriously.
Creepy, curly...
Bro,
black.
Has he been around here? Is he alive?
I haven't seen him in years.
Him
he's got to be dead, right?
He dyed the eyebrows that had a peak.
I saw him maybe, like Grandpa Munster eyebrows. I saw him like 3 years ago in front of the Roxy as I was driving home.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I drove by him like, it's fucking Monkey Bones. I rolled down my window. Monkey Bones. Who is this?
He's like, someone recognized me as a celebrity.
Is there any collusion?
My name is Mike Dick now. It's Mike Dick.
Bro, Monkey Bone's dead 40 years ago, bro.
You want this black dick lighter? Very funny. You pull the balls. Fire come out of the dick.
I remember the great Paul J. Stansberry. God rest his soul.
Okay, he was with Wheels the other
night
in Jersey.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
He's the cannoli consigliere. They work together. So Monkey Bones, for some unknown reason, sold tasers out of his little suitcase.
One of my favorite
and
evenings.
So, and PJ's like, hey, so you got the tasers? Yeah, bro. They pack a wallop.
Bro, they
give you big punch, bro. Let me try it out, SO. PJ takes the taser, sticks it into his gut and his Hawaiian shirt. Drops to a knee and he's like jolting like Kramer.
Shut up.
And his hair that was always perfectly fucking Richie in Out for Justice was all standing on end.
Dapper
like,
Dan.
Like he had stuck his finger in a socket and he's like, yeah, it pecks a wallop, SO. And he gave it back to him.
And then that's when he got instructed by Gelbler not to bring weapons around the property.
Bro, it's and a then, lawsuit waiting to happen, bro. The Comedy Store lawyer.
Month and a half later. we asked him how much it would cost to tase Monkey Bones, and he said $40 we could do it. And so we found Rent is Easy because none of us had $40.
Perfect.
And Steve tasered him on the front. And
this is what I work for.
And then
what
Gelber,
are we going to do with this taser? That's a hard one.
Then Gelber came out and banned Monkey Bones for getting
he's
tasered.
Like, you're banned, not anyone who did it.
Nobody.
Why did
I told you not to bring the taser, bro?
Just
Monkey Bones has got piss all over.
Why are you smiling at me for 5 minutes blankly? If you told me not to, it seems like you're telling me that I should have,
bro.
Right? Are you short circuiting? Say something, Dean. Please. The worst was the phone. You'd be like, "Are you there?
Oh,
breathe.
Yeah.
Do something."
Yeah. Right. Oh, if you're on the phone.
Yeah. Just pauses. You're
right.
Like, hello.
Yeah. Trying to get a shift covered.
Sorry, bro.
A real conversation.
There was a night.
after one of my shifts, we used to stay in the lot with DB Don Barris till late in the night.
DB.
In these BMX bikers. This is they come up the Hyatt ramp and they're at the we see them at the top of the fucking that giant cliff that's like in front of where you park. And
where
we're all
it says
like
Mitzi only like yeah. that.
We're like, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, we're gonna drop in on this thing. And we were all like, oh, yes, these guys are going to fucking die. Yeah. We're going to watch this.
That's not a...
It's steep.
That's straight.
I mean,
yeah,
PJ Stansbury was able to run up and down it, but...
Because he...
Scraped the skin off his legs.
What's the movie where Crispin Glover is the king of the rats?
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking... Wait. Willard?
Is it Willard?
That's yeah, PJ. That sounds right. So he summoned his friends of the rats, and they carried his feet. He wasn't really on the wall.
He was
being carried
up. He was
up.
Inches off.
Yes.
The Rat King.
It was like Jesus walking on water, but
it makes sense.
A fat, short man being carried up a huge
absolute
incline.
Sense.
So these guys were literally about to drop it. Bro, what are you guys doing?
Gelber.
And we're like, come on, Dean. Can't we have any fun here?
Can't you do some Shakespeare in the Park while these guys...
Dean, you were a Dogtown Z-boy. You know fucking the thrill of being a skater.
Bro, this tragedy.
Bro, go straight down the hill super fast.
We haven't had a benefit here in a while. We don't know who these guys are. If one of them dies, we get people together in the main room. Yeah. Talk about their extreme love of extreme sports.
Holtzman could lead it off.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I didn't know this guy. You know all your coworkers? If you have to say that, you may not want to talk at the memorial. Just a note. You got to feed the hot hand. he was on such a hot streak of memorials that when Brody came around, even though he didn't know him well, he had to get up there.
He knew him, obviously. He just didn't.
You didn't
hang
know him well.
With him.
Yeah.
He didn't
yeah.
hang out.
Which is not knowing him.
Trying some jokes out. Not that one? Okay.
I mean, they did do the same spots, so I
yeah.
guess I
so
could
so there's a mutual
how,
respect.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know...
Brody was offended by it.
What? Being...
About when Holtzman would get the final
really?
Spot. Yeah, Brody would be
Why,
so mad
Why,
because
was Brody the originator of that?
No.
Holtzman used to do it, I think, way before Brody, but Brody really felt that he owned that spot.
New school.
And...
Yes!
Tommy was weeding Holtzman out.
Tommy yeah. hated Holtzman.
Yeah. And then Holtzman would come. I told him to bring him stuff. So he would bring him gifts on Monday nights.
What'd he bring him?
A Holtzman?
I don't know. Here's
a tie hooker for you, Tommy.
He would always have a bag. And I go, what's in the bag? You brought something for Tommy?
Cookies?
You know? I don't know what it was.
Tommy.
I have no idea.
Tommy was mad because Holtzman was the first person to verbally call him out on Mitzi not.
Oh,
about lying about Mitzi.
Got it.
I was over there today, Tommy. Mitzi didn't say shit. She doesn't know fucking what world she's in, you lying son of a bitch.
Ever heard of telepathic communication?
She's
talking to her right now.
That's she spoke to me when I was holding her under the bathwater.
What? Wow. Tommy.
Where's Mike David? I need a pillow. Allegedly. Okay.
Allegedly. Is allegedly from Gaylord?
No, it's from me not wanting to be sued.
Oh, you just say that.
Yeah.
For why do I
say it for anything.
Why do I put that on Gaylord? I don't know.
Because he's a legend. Allegedly.
Oh. Allegedly.
Thank you.
He's never said that? Allegedly.
No.
I don't know why I hear it, but maybe it's your impression.
Many of you are homosexuals. Thank you.
Allegedly.
Thank you. Thank you. It makes too much sense for him to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it would be
right.
like too smooth.
Yeah, you're like
too. You're like that's not a non sequitur. That means nothing.
My dad loved Gaylord.
Okay,
like just loved
it's
him.
Good taste.
The first couple times he saw me perform, it was on employee/open mic
okay.
night, and there was one night it was my dad and one of his business associates.
Jesus.
And and then there was like maybe four other people in the crowd, and that was it. So it was my dad and his business associate Bernie. And
Weekend at Bernie's.
And Gaylord went up, and my dad was like, oh, this guy's great. And my dad had talked to him a couple times.
You're in for a treat, Bernie.
Yeah. And my dad had talked to Gaylord a few times, so Gaylord knew him, and he saw him, and he was up doing his set, and he's just bombing as usual, but all the comics in the back yelling out his bits as he does them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just stops in the middle, and he just goes, Rick's dad is a lawyer and the rest of you are homosexuals. The gentleman with Rick's dad is also a homosexual. My dad's business partner.
Win for your dad, like, loss for Bernie.
Bernie.
And that was the last of Ingram and Malkovich.
Is your dad a lawyer?
He was. He's retired. Yeah, he is a corporate lawyer.
He's retired, not retarded. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Special Olympics. Thank you. What's so special about him? My dog hasn't seen one special yet. Thank you. We built him up. Remember, there was him and this guy John Poet, where guys like Rick, myself, O'Neill.
Who's John Poet?
John Poet.
He was a legendary piece of shit.
He was an open micer who would give notes about comedy to people, and we built him up. We were all like, let's just build this guy up, make him a god for a while.
He was a staple.
He would
here,
get. He was
for a brief period. Yeah,
he would get very intense.
Very intense, and he would hop on the stage, and his patented move on stage was a slight hip thrust.
Yeah,
after a punchline, and so we'd be like in the back, thrust it. And we start chanting, thrust it, and he'd see him start to feel it. He'd start to like almost get jittery, and then he'd give a couple thrusts. Yeah! They would go crazy. Yeah, long chants. Because the sets became like 10 minutes because we were chanting for like 3 straight minutes.
Yeah.
How'd he get away with that?
Rick was throwing like 50 chairs into a stack like it was an ECW wrestling card. Just like...
There was
no customers. Oh. No, early. This is early.
It was middle of the show. There's there. A lot of times I was hosting, okay. So it's just like... I'm going to sacrifice
we
three
people.
We
got 20 minutes to spare.
Yeah. Three people aren't going to get out tonight because we are going to convince this piece of shit that we love him and then torture him the entire time.
He was at least 55 years old. He wasn't a young guy.
Yeah.
He was a limo driver or like a Lincoln car driver.
And then people go, why are you afraid to go to the comedy store?
And it was a different time.
Hey,
I was
that life's behind me.
Tossing chairs from the side booth to the center of the room.
People be like, and there was no fear of customers being like, where do I sit? Because there was no customers during that era. So it was just like.
What year was that? Like
2004, 2005?
Around there, yeah, six, okay. Around
this
that period.
Right when I was quit.
And Poet, we built him up and
that's why I didn't know him.
He became a star. He was running the light.
He had these beady eyes.
Like
that
he would tell the host basically to go fuck themselves as they talked to him. And when
we'd be like, yeah, you tell him, Poet.
Yeah, no, he's not taking you off the stage. You keep going. And then
your show, bro.
It came to a head when he told the Comedy Store bouncer, the late great Paul J. Stansberry.
Why do you keep saying late great? Stop it.
I haven't seen him in a while, so I don't know where he's at.
He's off.
He passed before he left, but.
So
still around.
He was
still
a ghost
around.
For a while, to my knowledge.
I get it.
Allegedly.
Get it.
So Paul J, there was a big show in the main room, and John Poet decided that he was so big that he deserved a booth.
Oh.
And this is when, and I believe he was in Mitzi's booth, and she was coming in, and Paul J looked at him and said, hey, get up, asso. And he said, hey, fuck you.
Oh.
And that was the beginning of the end, I think, of
was
Poets.
He a big guy?
No. He looked like he should be like a substitute shop teacher at a middle school.
Or like a aspiring pedophile who just doesn't have the hard work to like go out and get it done.
To find
doesn't
the kids.
Have the van?
Yeah, he's just like, I'll look from afar and think about it, but I'm kind of lazy.
Super creepy.
Yeah, he was a creepy fucking guy. The chance bring me back. I almost want to stab somebody. It gets me going.
Gets you that
excited? Gets me to
and
that.
The hip thrust?
The thrusts were unbelievable.
Thrust it.
I love
it. Yeah, we would thrust it. And he'd start thrusting. You'd do like, hey, wait, let's build it up. Let's build it up. Like because he would like try to control us. We're like, we're the puppet masters.
No.
Yeah.
Hey,
you're
asshole.
Not calling shots. Calling shots.
Yeah, it was Hulk Hogan hearing the crowd getting pumped up, too, or suddenly you could have done anything. That energy was just inside of him.
But then there was one day when we all just turned.
That one day.
When we turned
you
on Poet.
Suck, Poet.
Boo. Fuck you.
What?
Oh, we turned on him hard.
No.
Oh, we built him up.
Destroyed
it. It was reverse military. We built him up.
Why?
And then tore him down.
Why?
He got too big for his britches. Yeah, he didn't know how to handle success.
Listen, we. We're the kingmakers, and sometimes you got to fucking cut the king's head off if you want the.
We wanted a new king. We were bored. We were bored with him.
You guys off specifically?
He
just ascended to the throne.
Yeah.
And
okay. So
he'd done his time.
It's like wrestling. He had the belt, and there was a new champion in town.
We took the strap off him. We booed him. We booed him every set.
You suck. Really?
Oh, all the cheers. Boo. Fuck the thrust.
Oh, my
God. And you just saw him become more and more.
Devastation, agitation. Just
more and more defeated. The thrust stopped, and he just stopped coming around.
Where is this poor
Oh, he's a huge producer now.
No, shut the fuck up.
Hey, he runs Netflix now.
That's Lionsgate. What?
Like, yeah, have you ever seen a movie from Paramount? That's Poet. We called him Poet a lot of us. Yeah, John Poet.
So did you ever look this guy up to find out where
he is? No, I don't want him to come back.
No, I mean just to see, like,
I have no idea.
If he's taking over the world. He's got to be.
He's probably driving Uber or something.
I'm scared saying his name this much that he may come back. Just a like candy
Beetlejuice.
Candyman effect, yeah.
He said it at the same time.
Imagine getting in a Lyft or an Uber.
He's going to come in.
And it's Poet driving it.
Oh, like, that'd be so
John
excited.
Poet? And he starts thrusting it in the driver's seat.
Thrust it. I would start yelling at him, thrust it, thrust it.
John,
thrust
you want a 5-star review? Give me that thrust. Oh, you saw my comedy? I don't even think he would remember us if he saw us.
No way he'd remember us.
Really?
No way.
If you guys were that big of fans,
we built him up for like a year and a half and then destroyed him in maybe 2 weeks.
A year and a half of chanting this guy's name, making him.
But there was
feel
a
like
lot
a
of us. It wasn't like four of us. It was a large.
It was the whole comedy
it
store
was a mob
family
mentality.
At that point.
Yeah.
It so it was like Hatchell. It was like the whole.
We all
Marino.
Basically
yeah, it was a lot of us.
Marino.
Oh, a lot of us. But Marino turned. He didn't like that we turned on him. He said, "Why did we turn on him?" And I said,
"Oh, he was upset.
He wanted to make him live like a legend forever."
But
it doesn't work.
Gaylord.
It doesn't work
can't
like
do that.
Yeah, you're not
gonna. Well, we still love Gaylord.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That guy is a legend.
Yeah.
But the difference is Gaylord. Gaylord never acted like he was
bigger than
the greatest comic that ever lived. We pushed Poet to an unhealthy.
I think he started
self-image
asking for showcase. Like he got kind of crazy for a while.
Yeah.
Like he may have like I don't remember if this happened, but I wouldn't be shocked if he was like pulling his car like into the mouth like and they're like Poet, no,
that's
because we were like Poet, you're
probably
like,
the best comic.
You're
in
like
the building
this
right
generation's
oh,
Carlin.
So that's what I'm saying. You fed his
this definitely.
Beast.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We fed the beast and then slayed the beast. So we're heroes.
A year and a half of feeding him until he was the fattest
it's like
beast
Game
ever.
Of Thrones. And then Jesus.
Only once he was record setting in his obesity could we. Kill him.
Oh, is that big?
No,
he was a pretty. Hilarious. He was fat, but he was short. He wasn't like over. I wouldn't call him like.
He would have been a good match for Paul James Stansberry.
Yeah, about like, that. About that
like,
build
okay.
size. Yeah,
Gaylord did. He once ran the light. Do you remember that? For like, he did like a 10-minute set, and he was just spiking the mic stand onto the carpet, just saying. Machine ripped his leg off and then started doing a bit about lawnmowers and midgets.
No.
And dick pills. And he's just slamming the mic and you can see the dust rising from the old carpet.
Oh my
into
God.
The air around and people are coughing. The moths are dropping out of the sky and he just wouldn't get off the stage. He wouldn't stop.
How did you get him off?
I think it was Skippy. We used to like rip the mic out of his cold dead hand.
Skippy Simon?
I believe. Yeah. Or Ari. One of them. They'd be like, get the
Those
fuck
are the
off.
Two guys
and he would start evading. He would use his shoulders to block.
Was that you?
I think
I was just
going
to check to see if you had a
I got to go kill this main room.
Oh, yeah.
I need to kill
They're chanting
main.
My name. How am I supposed to follow who's before
Danish,
me?
Danish.
Who is Danny
Thrust it.
Oh, I'm going to thrust it.
What if we come up there and just chant, thrust it.
I'll say, I deserve this karma.
Poet.
I deserve this karma.
That's Jeff Poet.
What happens? Do you guys now talk
Thank
about
you.
Me when I leave?
We'll probably talk shit about you.
Okay.
Yeah, is that good?
Not me.
I'm not going to listen to the show, so feel free to say whatever you want.
Oh, you only listen when I make slip-ups like...
That I used to date Ari? That everyone
Son
knows I used
bitch.
To date Ari.
You dated Ari. I never did.
A few years ago. That's why I'm on every
Eleanor's
50
relationship was purely sexual, and that's why Dice got so upset.
And that's why Ari's asshole bleeds.
Have Dice start tweeting Ari. You need to come back to Twitter. I didn't ban you.
Wait, did he get banned from
no,
these?
No, it's a self-imposed.
Just... Okay.
He
okay.
did get banned briefly a couple months
Goodbye,
ago.
Everybody.
Bye, Jeff Danish.
Thanks, Danish.
Thank you so much. It is, you can leave the door open. Are you hot?
Yeah.
Leave the door open a little bit. Oh, feel that air. It's exciting.
It's nice. It feels good.
It does feel. I made you turn the fan. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah, now we can trash Jeff. Thrust. I can't believe you guys did that.
That's all we did. That's how we had fun back then was literally.
Of course.
We found like a dozen lunatics.
Yeah.
And then did everything we could to try and.
to try and convince them that they were great.
You know what sucks is that I remember this guy at all because I was kind of leaving.
Yeah.
I quit in 2005. So
yeah,
that was, I think, April or March 2005. I forget. I remember it was like almost exactly 12 years when I quit.
Right.
But I didn't get to meet this weirdo.
Yeah, I mean,
and I know mostly all the weirdos.
If you,
I'm almost upset.
He was probably around before you quit, but
I wasn't doing the open mic nights. I refused right. to do it because when I started learning the homeless guys act, I was like, I got to get out. I got to stop.
Yeah, he was one of the special ones that we really just decided like, this is going to be our movement.
I'm obsessed with him.
He really was super creepy, and it was just fun to convince someone who was so delusional, like, you're doing it. You've done it. You're on top.
He must have been so delusional if he came in on a night off and sat in Mitzi's booth.
Yeah.
In the main room. Like, you got to be out of your fucking mind right there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It was probably Sunday when they used to do that Barry Katz show in the main room.
I'll see that. I don't remember.
Louis Anderson would host it most of the time.
Amazing.
But yeah, like that was the only time you'd ever see like Dane Cook here.
Yeah.
People like that.
That's his client. I don't know if he still is.
No, I don't think any of them are.
Yeah, I don't even know if Barry's manager.
I don't believe he is.
I think Barry's a Manilow right now.
I know he does a podcast, but that's about it.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything negative. I wanted Jeff to tell the story. I don't remember if it was you or one of you guys with Lainey and Jerry and their keys. Something about parking their car, losing their keys or pretending to lose their keys.
I think that's O'Neill.
Is it O'Neill?
I think so.
Because he was so angry about having to park it.
Yeah.
And like whatever. So he's like, yeah, I can't find your keys. And that's when Jerry started not liking him, I think.
Probably.
Because he pushed it to the point where.
If Jerry ever did the open mic, we would have John Poetted him for sure.
Oh, my God.
Because he's still to this day, it's hard for me to not just start laughing or address it when I'm on stage and I look over and it's a packed, sold-out main room and Jerry's sitting at the end of the booth by the door of the hallway with his fingers in his ears.
Right. Doesn't he wear earplugs? I think he does.
I don't know. Usually I just see him like this. And I'm just like, look over and then I'll go, Jerry, was I being too loud? It's always too loud.
Oh my God.
But a dude is just so dedicated.
Doesn't like it here.
Doesn't. Just so dedicated to Lainey. So.
Got it. So they have to come.
That's what she's doing. So that's what he does.
We got a bit of a taste of Drunk Katie the other night.
Oh, she was here?
Danish and O'Neill 200th anniversary.
Ah, fuck. What are you guys doing here? What is this? A fucking podcast?
What was weird was there was not only one, but two black shows in the main room, and all of a sudden, Katie manifested.
That's bizarre.
It's like, whoa. And she's like, Elena, look at this one. I got one.
He fucking plays ball at USC. Which sport? I don't fucking know.
I'm just trying to get on his fucking payroll. Okay, that's all I fucking do. She's so she was so out of it, and then she stepped on Jeff's girlfriend's toe, and she had open toe shoes on. Katie had stilettos,
Jeez.
So Candace was like, "Oh!" And it's like here's Candace and Jeff's night out, you know, away from the baby, and it's like she's getting bombarded, and then she's like, "Jeff, I heard you have a big cock. Let me see your fucking cock, you know." And then she's
Classic.
Like, "Oh, there's Earl. Earl, how big's your cock? What do you got?" And Earl's like, "Oh, I can't satisfy you, Katie." And then she goes, "All right, I usually like a 9 inches soft, but tonight I'll go down to like 8, 7.5 maybe. You got it? Can you spot me?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, what's happening?" And the guy she's with is so messed up over here just listening, looking at like, "Who the fuck is this guy? Oh,
yeah.
She's going to fuck this. What's happening right now?" And then he walked away and he was like, "Can we leave?" He sent somebody over to get her.
Hilarious.
I was like, "You might lose it to Earl." I mean, he is wearing leather pants and we can see the outline.
I mean, I just hope someone was around and they can write a Yelp review about her because I miss the old days.
That was the best Yelp review.
For a while, there's only like 4 Yelp reviews.
Who was reading them? Was it
Corinne and I were reading them?
No. Wasn't Dave Taylor reading them on stage?
Oh yeah,
he did.
He did eventually read them on stage.
Yeah.
But I brought it to everyone's attention. Like, have you ever read these? And there was like four of them. It was over like 3 years. Only four people had left reviews, and
every one of them were.
Two of them were about how their waitress, some girl named Katie, who was super drunk, and tried to charge them $60 more than what they.
Okay, honestly, it's hard for her to add, but she's putting her drinks on their tab.
Yeah, it was endless. It was so funny though. I don't understand how an organization like this could still exist. I'm just so mad. Like, all of the reviews were terrible. It was great.
Oh, my God.
Different time.
How dare they give Katie a bad review? That's an amazing way to... I mean, she would get wasted and still bring your drinks?
But it would be like, we ordered drinks and she didn't bring it to us for an hour and 15 minutes.
Wasn't it one she spilled on somebody's lap, like putting it
down? Yeah.
And went across them and... Oh, sorry, my fault.
I remember asking Dean, like, Dean, what do you think about these reviews? And one of the other ones was, this was maybe a couple of years later, but there was a review about Burger and how
he Burger, was, the David Burger,
David
right?
Burger,
the in my head, I'm like, wait, we didn't have burgers back then.
No, the comic remember. Burger.
Yeah, David. Yeah.
And how he hosted the show that they were at in the main room, and he spent a decent amount of time legitimately trying to sell people weed. And they thought it was really uncomfortable. And then at the end of the night, they were standing out back, and that comic walked by, and he was stealing toilet paper from the comedy club.
And it was Burger.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what it said.
God.
Then later that night, when we were outside having a drink, we saw that same comic Burger with a trash bag full of toilet paper that he was taking from the comedy club. I'm just like, why would you leave that review? It's so much information.
God. Like, that's every detail of your entire night. Have you ever
would
yelled?
Would not recommend. No.
I would never do that.
I don't care. If I had
just
a terrible
walk
time.
Out of a restaurant or whatever, not go back.
Yeah. I think Sebastian has an old bit about it where it's just, it was like, what are you doing? Leaving reviews? I just turned to my day and I go, take a look around. We're never coming here again.
Yeah.
That's it. Just, I won't go back. I'm not going to.
I remember being at a restaurant ordering and they started mopping. And Andrew was like, we're going. We got up. And it wasn't a shitty restaurant either.
Yeah.
We got up, walked out. And nobody like came after us or anything. But she literally went like an inch away from his feet. And I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, as someone who worked in restaurants, I can assure you their goal was to try and get you guys to leave.
Yeah, but there was other people in the restaurant.
I know, but once people see mopping, they're like, we should get out of here.
And it's happened like quite a few times, but not in a nicer establishment. This one was a nicer.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like within an hour
like if it's
of closing.
Still Loyal Local or something, you're like, oh, all right, this is what they do. They got to clean all day, you know, whatever.
No, I mean, when I worked in restaurants, if it was like an hour to closing and people were coming in.
Yeah.
We'd start sweeping and doing stuff around them just so that they had the
or
idea.
That little like,
the dustpan thing. Or, yeah.
What's that called? My grandmom used to have one of them. It's like a vacuum, but it doesn't have a big
no
noise.
Power. Yeah.
Yeah. What's that called?
I don't remember.
So sad. This is where we're at. That's what I. These are the things I remember. That little.
We're from a different century.
She was. God bless her. And she didn't like the noise of a vacuum. So she
can't
had
blame
that
her.
Little. That's my dad's mom. They're Nutty Butters. God bless them. That's
typewriters and.
Yeah, she married a typewriter repairman. My grandpa was a typewriter repairman. Handed it down to my pops.
My God, he got back from Korea. He's like, I got to survive. I got to get to that typewriter.
And my grandpa was like, he doesn't have a business sense. I don't want to give it to him. Gave it to him anyway, because you know other brothers didn't want it.
Yeah.
And then, my dad did what he did with it. We're not good business people. I know I'm not.
Fucking
no.
Irish.
I'm trying. Do you think it's an Irish trait through and through?
I mean, there's a handful of successful Irish people.
A handful. Fucked up.
And there's probably 1.5 billion people of Irish descent on this planet. And
because we multiply like roaches.
Yeah. And everyone has a little bit in them because, you know, we slime our way into everyone's genetics somehow. But most of them just absolute trash.
That's fucked, man. This is bullshit, because I think about that. I was on the road working with Dice, and he was on doing business, you know, like with a club. And the things he demanded, the things he asked for, I was like, wow. Yeah. Like, and the way he spoke, and then to the person, like not in a nasty way, not in any, but just almost like this, like self-worth. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
That's foreign.
You value yourself.
How do you get that? That's what he said. If you don't put a value on yourself, that they don't value you. And I was like, oh. So then I got confident, and a club hit me up and asked me if I wanted, you know, what do I charge? And I went high, and they were like, all right, we don't pay that much.
And they're like, God damn it.
I was like, wow, that didn't work. Yeah, and Andrew was like, yeah, but that's like a shithole. And I'm like, no, you're just.
Yeah, he's just a draw and we're not. So that's why literally people are like, what would you ask for? I'm like, unless I was basically just offered a bottom rate price, they would just be like, all right, we'll just get anyone else. Because you could book Davey Wester for $40 a weekend, and he'll show up.
And I'm like, no, I need more money. I need, you know, and I was trying to be like he was showing me to do. And he was right there when I did it. He laughed really hard when the guy was like, no.
Okay, we're good.
Right. Yeah, we're going to get a local probably. Yeah. You know, there's somebody here that plays the harmonica.
Well, that's Tom Segura. I was on Twitter this week talking about how fucked up it is that comedy clubs haven't raised the rates for openers and features in so long. It's like it's been 30 years and they're still paying the same amount.
Yeah.
And then he went through, you know, the waiters make more money, the managers, everyone makes more money. But the opening act and the feature act make the same amount of money. And it's like, yeah, it's supply and demand. And there's literally thousands of people who will do it for less than that. And nobody on earth is going to a comedy club to see the opener or the feature. They're going to see the headliner, unless it's like family or something. But like no one's like, hey,
it's very rare.
Who's featuring at the comedy club this weekend?
It's you sell tickets, you are the headliner.
You'll be the headliner.
Or co-headline with somebody else who sells tickets. But
yeah, so they just don't care because they could book you or me for more money in theory.
Mm-hmm.
And then have another good comic on the show, or they can pay the same shitty amount of money to Jeremy, local piece of shit, and the crowd's still just going to be like, whatever, we went and saw, you know, David Spade or whoever the headliner is.
Yeah, so. I don't remember who opened, but usually like Dice, the club offers like that shitty
amount,
and then he pays on top of it.
Yeah, that's what Segura was saying. He pays extra.
And
a lot of times, good headliners will double.
Yeah.
So whatever the club pays you, they'll also pay
you. Joe Diaz also did that, like when I was doing Helium for him. But I was like, because he goes, how much are they paying? He couldn't believe it. And I go, Joe, it doesn't matter. I'm at my mom's. You know, I'm getting to be here.
Yeah.
Hanging out. And it's literally like right up the street. Find my mom, like I could take the bus, no big deal. And so I'm not losing money because I'm not putting myself up, but I did buy a plane ticket.
Right.
And he doubled it because he made his bonuses. So I was like, oh, great. You know, that was very nice. But rarely.
Yeah, like Ren is the only person who's asked me to go on the road with him in the last seven or 8 years. And the last time he asked me, I just couldn't do it because it was
too.
You know,
not worth
he would, Steve would always throw me a couple extra $100, whatever. But once I start figuring in cost and what I'm spending, what it's going to cost to get a babysitter to watch for days and stuff, I'm just like, fuck it, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I said, I can't do it. I wish I could, but
that's what we were saying. Either break even, go a little under. Very rarely do you make, like, people are like, you're working all the time, you must be making tons of money, and I'm like, you would think that
in a nice world,
and I do okay, but I'm catching up from all the shit that I lost, you know. So until I start selling tickets, so what if you guys are listening for real,
go
see a show.
Yeah,
damn it, if you only pay to see these big comics, we don't get to go anywhere, technically.
I don't get to go anywhere, ever.
I mean, I am headlining a lot of places, and I'm thrilled. I'm grateful for it. But
Kansas City, at the Comedy Club of Kansas City.
Thank you. July 5th, 6th, 7th. sorry, you like
good
that?
Plugs.
July 5th, 6th, and 7th. But that, yeah, then I'm going to Edmonton. But that club has been there a long time. It has like a great, it's comic strip live, and it has a great rapport. So they
just
trust
the
club owner.
And it's old school.
Yeah, House of Comedy in the States, Minnesota, and Phoenix, pretty much the same deal. Although it was hard for me to draw in Phoenix, we had some good shows, but that competition is steep.
There's
bro.
Like eight clubs there now.
Yeah, and it was like Mike Koss. It was a bunch of people in town and big shows that week, and I was like, damn. But we still did okay, and you know.
Yeah, Tripoli keeps. Bro, you gotta get out. You gotta go on the road, man.
Minnesota
you're wasting yourself here. Yeah. I'm like, no one's paying me money to go anywhere. I'm not just gonna drive. Sometimes you gotta go do a show. Just show them yourself. I can't do that anymore.
But see, here's what Tripoli can do that because he don't have a child. He don't have he has a girlfriend, but technically, and a dog. But
someone
like,
will
I
watch
have
it.
No responsibility whatsoever, and I still have stress doing something like that. So
I just don't. Yeah, I'm just like, no, I can't. It's not.
You
make
more money
I can
in
do.
The main room.
Yeah.
If you stay in town, so it's like.
If I do main room Friday and Saturday, I'll make a little bit more money than I would featuring in Nashville or wherever it is.
But
so
you
it's
don't
like,
have a plane ticket and or a hotel or
babysitter.
Car rental or babysitter.
I don't pay for any of that stuff. So
yeah.
It's just not worth it to me. And then, you know, part of me is like, that sucks because I'd love to go perform at clubs around America. But at the same time, I'm not going to lose money to go to cities.
Right.
I really don't give a fuck about.
Right. Like, I'm excited. I think I'm doing Oregon, Portland. Yeah. Okay. Portland in a couple of months, like the beginning of and Boston, which I'm thrilled about.
That would be cool.
Which is at the MGM and that's in a casino. It's called Roar Comedy. And it's I think it's in Springfield right outside of Boston. But that's the beginning of October. So I'm thrilled about that. And then I'm doing that Mr. and Mrs. America, a couple dates with that. I'm also at Uncle Vinny's in Jersey.
Unfollow me if you got a problem with it.
Oh, my God. It's so fun. How crazy are people going over that?
People are going nuts. They fucking hate Roseanne.
They hate Roseanne. They think she's a racist. It's so funny. They don't have any idea who they are. Like, even Dice, they're like, you know, I thought you were just a piece of shit on stage. Now you're a piece of shit in person, or, you know, for real. And it's like, you people have nothing to live for.
Yeah.
Like, you really are so sad.
And
they're comics. They just want to make you laugh. They don't give a shit.
And people, the thing that I kept finding funny was like, why would you associate yourself with a racist piece of trash like that?
She's
it's like,
not racist.
Like, Dice never met her before, and he just was like, hey, she seems like a racist piece of shit. I'll go on tour
with her. And we didn't come up together.
No one bothers to look it up and be like, hey, I guess they've known each other since before they were famous. Hey.
Way before they were famous.
Well, look at that. They both got famous from the same show in the same era.
Hello,
that's bizarre.
Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah, like, this is so fucking stupid. Like, how do you not know?
Everyone who has a problem with anything on the internet needs to fucking blow their brains
out. Again, it's the fake rage.
Outrage.
Fake outrage, where it's the same thing with this Louis C.K. and the Brooklyn Bazaar, whatever, apologizing, and people getting mad. It's... If you don't want to see Louis, don't go see Louis. And I understand he was a surprise guest. Like, he came in. None of the comics knew. I guess the guys who run Skankfest knew he was coming.
Right.
But even still, it's a comic. They're comedy fans.
Again, they don't
None
care.
None of the people complained.
Yeah, they gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah.
It's people who are mad about Louis still being mad about Louis.
Like, he's still alive. We should have killed him.
Yeah.
I love it. These are our Bible beaters that want to kill everybody.
I saw Felicia Michaels commenting on it. It was like, so he masturbated in front of people, and that's a misdemeanor in this country.
Right.
He would have had to pay a few thousand dollars in fines and maybe done a little community service.
That's it.
And so he didn't have to do that stuff. So
technically, he lost more than that fine.
Like, it's like, what do we need?
Right.
He didn't murder anybody.
Okay, how else?
He didn't rape anyone, technically. Right. And yes, people feel assaulted by what he did or whatever. But at the same time, by the laws of this country, what he did was not even considered a major crime.
Right.
So how long does he have to pay? How long? What's his?
Yeah.
What's his punishment in your eyes? Oh, nothing will ever be good enough. Cool. Go fuck yourself.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's like, so you have a pitchfork and a fucking torch, and you just want to be part of the mob that's just like, well, let's burn them.
Let's burn it to the ground. Let's get rid of everyone.
People are pieces of shit.
Everyone's a piece of shit. You're right, but we love you.
I don't. I don't care for you, if we're being perfectly frank.
We love you. No, I love the fans. I love the real fans that come up. I've had so many people come up and say good things about the Comedy Store podcast, which I love.
What fucking liars.
And I love...
All I get is there's crackling on the audio.
Oh, yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Sorry about that. There's no answer for that.
Yeah.
I can't turn the cameras around and point to that room over there, but my fingers are pointing in the direction of the idiot. No, just kidding. I don't know how that happened. Rick and I don't know anything about engineering, and obviously neither do they in the
booth.
Listen,
more importantly, I don't want random people in the world to be able to have clear audio.
I thought it was cute that we sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher, you know.
I didn't even listen to it.
I didn't either, and that's why I retweeted it, because it looked cute. And I was like, oh, Mark Ellis, Rick. Like,
yeah, no, I didn't listen to it after either.
I was like, oh, boy.
They can either watch it and like what we give them, or they can shut up.
Yeah. Well, Josh fixed the audio. Thank you, Josh.
God damn it. What a fucking piece of shit. You know, he goes to all that effort, fixes the audio, and they don't even send a follow-up tweet letting us know that it sounds better.
Well, he fixed the audio
Are scumbag pieces of shit.
He fixed the audio on our audio link. The video link, I think, still sounds like shit. I don't know. I haven't checked. Are you going to say something, Josh? Brett, leave him alone. He's talking. Did a fight break out?
He's giving him a wet willy in there.
We can hear you. Yeah, I know, fucker. So,
all right. Let's wrap this up. Things are getting out of control.
We're wrapping it up. Everything's out of control.
Does Josh got something to promote?
Josh is coming in to promote something.
Get in here, sale boy.
Why couldn't you promote in there? What happened?
Josh is part of a...
Do you think that mic's on
He's
now?
Part of a family of boat people.
But only
boat
you can
people.
Hear me.
Josh,
that's not on the record.
Josh is boat people.
Boat people? Shit.
Living in a steam room. Thank you.
Thank you.
A family of boat people. A family of boat people doing a podcast. Thank you.
We're in the tin can, and that's it. No, I didn't do any boat shit, man.
Just promote your shit.
Okay.
What is it?
Hey, July 14th, come to Virginia Beach. We're doing a benefit show for...
gross.
Yeah, I know, right?
Helping people?
I know.
Dude, you better be the one benefiting.
Yeah, I wish it was me. But no, it's the 12 families of the people that got murdered. So, no big
what?
Deal.
What did you do?
Murder for
you
what?
In here to
hold on.
Bring us
now,
down?
Now this is comedy.
Yeah,
who
go.
Got murdered?
No, there's a shooting that happened there. And
okay.
Yeah, so.
I don't even remember that one.
Yeah.
In Virginia
There's
Beach?
So many of them.
Yeah.
Now it seems
a school
like.
Shooting?
No, this was a school shooting. This is a, like
oh, this is
an ape shit at work.
This is the guy who worked there, sent in his 2 weeks notice, and then went in.
Yeah, and he's
people.
Like, "Fuck this."
And he was a black guy, and so the news
a black guy went postal.
The news didn't cover it because it didn't fit their agenda. Just like when the tranny shot people in that high school
oh, the
in Colorado
or something. Yeah,
and they're like, "Oh, and she identifies as a she or as a he, but it's a she." And then they were like. All right, we're not going to talk about this one because this doesn't sell our Republicans are bad agenda.
I can't deal with anything. I can't. I'm rooting for North Korea, and I hope everyone else is.
Fuck those guys up in the North Korea.
Yeah, no kidding.
Go, Rick,
didn't your
girl.
Dad take care of a lot of those guys?
I did, girl. I got rid of a lot of them.
My grandpa did, too. Dick O'Brien was over there slaying Chinamen.
Dick O'Brien and Charlie Kerrigan were out there.
Fuck, it's just a couple of fucking... a couple of freckle-faced Irishmen just over there.
My dad's name's Charlie, and they're looking for Charlie in the hole. It's me, Charlie.
Wrong war, Eleanor. Wrong elephant. Wrong war, Eleanor.
Wrong elephant.
Now they're all Charlie.
Charlie Chan.
Yeah, the rest of the dates are at Josh96 O'Brien. Just check that out.
Josh96 O'Brien.
What's the 96?
The year I went in the military.
I thought you were going to say the year you were born. I was going to hit you with this fucking thing.
Yeah, it was
right
the year
here.
I was born.
He's a millennial. This fucking millennial.
So angry right now.
All my gray
shit out.
It's been some hard years in the military.
That's it, man.
Get away from us now. All right. Thank you guys for
years
listening.
Old.
Come to the Comedy Store. Support live comedy. Come to Kansas, Edmonton, Portland. What else did I say? I forgot. Just go to EleanorJKerrigan.com. They're all on there.
Go to RickIngram.com and build a website for me there. Thank you.
Build RickIngram.com.
All right, thank you.